Well, if you would look in your Bibles at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning. And before I share God's word, I would like to play a song for you. This is by Leon Hansen.
Someday soon, I don't know when, he's coming back for us again. I try to wait here patiently, but I'm longing for his face to see. When the call comes, we'll be there. We will meet him in the sky and leave behind this earthly care in the twinkling of an eye. When our Savior we do meet, we will stand before the bema seat to receive rewards for good we've done, and praise from God and his dear Son. There will be no wrath for us that day. We will leave it all behind, for God will cast the sin away, never brought again. When the call comes, we'll be there. We will meet him in the sky and leave behind this earthly care in the twinkling of.
That's a great song, huh? A lot of scripture in that song, a whole bunch. You know, in the book of Titus, chapter 1, it says that in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised. God has promised us that Jesus Christ is coming back. And that's our great hope. And that hope that we have of Jesus Christ coming back is based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, There is no hope for anyone. Last week when we finished up, I mentioned that you might want to read 1 Corinthians 15 in light of what we looked at last week in terms of preaching the resurrection. And I don't know if you had a chance to read that or not, but we're going to read some verses from 1 Corinthians 15, which Paul was endeavoring to remind those believers in Corinth about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that whole chapter deals with that. And in verse 12 is where we're going to start. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? There's no such thing as resurrection from the dead. Well, guess what? Christ isn't risen. And if Christ be not risen, well, then is our preaching vain. It's empty. And guess what? Your faith, your believing is also vain. Yea, and we're found false witnesses of God. We're lying about God because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your believing is vain, and you're yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ, meaning Christians who have died, are perished. They're gone. And then it says, this wonderful verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If this life is all there is, then everything in this life is pointless. Then we have verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. And I think you're probably familiar, he goes on and talks more about the resurrection and gets to the point of saying, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we'll all be changed. Corruptible must put on incorruptibility. Mortals put on immortality. And we get to verse 54. And in this verse 54, there's a when and a then. Verse 54. So when? Let's talk about when Christ comes back. And as you heard in that song, in the twinkling of an eye, it's going to happen. Bang. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy glory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God he gave us victory. And this is victory over death. Not victory in a baseball game I'm playing. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. This verse is talking about thanks be to God who gives us the victory over death itself. I was blessed when you shared those verses before we sang that song, Dave. Thanks be to God that gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the final verse in this chapter and this discussion about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the great hope that we have because of the resurrection. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God will reward us. And after all that great discussion in that chapter about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what's going to happen in a twinkling of an eye, and we get gathered together, and when that happens, death over victory itself, God says, just stay put. Therefore, my beloved brethren, just be steadfast, unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The great hope that we have, that which we look forward to. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. Knowing, not guessing, not wondering, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. Kind of like what we just read in 1 Corinthians 15. God doesn't want us to faint, to give up, get discouraged. So here it is again, which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And then this verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. God is giving us the perspective of what He has in store for us. And in that perspective, anything and everything we endure in this life, God calls it a light affliction. Light, like a little feather. And affliction, of course, is mental pressure. It can be physical stuff we deal with, mental stuff we deal with. God says it's light. It's light. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it's light, does it? Sometimes it doesn't look like it's light. But that's what God tells us, that whatever we're going through in this life, it's compared to what's coming, it's light. And not only that, God says it's just for a moment. And sometimes it doesn't feel like it's just for a moment. Sometimes it's many moments. Can be days and longer. And God says, compared to what's coming, it's light. It's just for a moment. And what God has planned for us is an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Reverend Cummins in the Working Translation translates it, an eternal, exceedingly heavy weight of glory, as opposed to a light affliction. Isn't that a beautiful verse? And then verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. What we hope for, we don't see yet. So while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Everything we see, everything, it's all temporary for us. Everything is temporary. There was one time when I got a new job, and before we found where we were going to live, they put us up in a hotel for a week or something. That was temporary housing. It was just temporary. I can't live here forever. We're going to find a suitable place where we're going to live. I'm not going to live in this hotel room. It was temporary. But everything in life that you see or experience is temporary. It's all temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. There are so many wonderful verses in God's Word about the great hope that we have, that Jesus Christ is coming back. And so many lines in that song that we listen to are straight from Scripture, and so we're looking at some other verses. 2 Peter chapter 3. Everybody there? Verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where's the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Where is He? You guys talk about He's coming back. Oh yeah, today could be the day Jesus Christ is coming back. You talk about it all the time. Where is He? How come He hadn't come back yet? Skip down to verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years. And a thousand years as what? One day. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's not slack concerning his promises. What God has promised in his word, he will fulfill it. He will absolutely fulfill it. You know, we just read that in 1 Corinthians. When this happens, then shall be fulfilled the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is your glory? Thanks be to God that gives us the victory. It's going to be fulfilled. All of his promises are going to be fulfilled, including God who cannot lie promised the great hope of Jesus Christ's return. It will be fulfilled. And God continues to put up with us. He's long-suffering to usward, and then not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God would like for everyone to be saved. It says in Timothy, God would have all people to be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth. Not all will. Not every person will say, okay, Jesus is Lord, God raised him from the dead, I'm in. But God would like for everybody to be in the gathering together. We're in 2 Peter. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 1. The great hope that we have. And without that hope, we're just miserable. What's the point of anything? If Christ is not coming back, if this life is all there is to live, what's the point of doing anything? What are we doing here on Sunday morning? Well, he is coming back. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. We're born again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's what I said at the beginning. The great hope we have of Christ's return is based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you and for me. The hope we have is a lively hope. It's a real and living hope. And the inheritance that God has promised that we're going to receive is incorruptible. Nothing's going to touch it. It's undefiled. And it does not fade away. And it's reserved in heaven for you and me. Nobody's going to touch that. And then verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Don't we rejoice in the hope? When you think about the hope in Jesus Christ coming back, doesn't it kind of put a little smile on your face? We know he's coming back, and it could be today. Oh yeah, you, where's that promise? It's coming. God's not slack concerning his promise. Wherein we rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. We can still rejoice even though we have to put up with stuff. The light affliction that we read about before. That the trial of your faith or believing, for the proof of your believing is better. Or the proof of your believing being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He's coming back. We are going to meet him in the clouds, it says. And then look at verse 8. It's really cool. Whom having not seen, you love. Don't we love the Lord Jesus Christ? When we read what he accomplished for us, but we haven't seen him, but we sure love him, don't we? In whom though now you see not, yet believing, we absolutely believe that God raised him from the dead. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. In the working translation, Reverend Cummins has it this way. Although you have not seen him, you love him, believing on him, whom you do not currently see, you're very glad with inexpressible and glorious joy. Hallelujah. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, or receiving in return the outcome of your believing, that is, the salvation or deliverance of your souls. And then just like we've read before, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, don't give up. Don't faint. Stay put. Be steadfast. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and set your hope completely on the grace that is to be brought to you when? At the appearing of Jesus Christ. There is great grace coming to each one of us on that day. How much grace? Well, Ephesians 2 says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus, not through our good works. But God is planning to give us exceeding great grace at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I think you probably know that in Hebrews chapter 6, it says that our hope is as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. An anchor. Our hope is an anchor. And you know what an anchor does? An anchor keeps the ship from drifting off. Keeps it in one place. Especially when it's turbulent up there, anchors down there at the bottom where it's peaceful. Our hope is an anchor. It keeps us from getting thrown all over the place with the craziness in the world, the light affliction that we might endure from time to time, all that. Our hope is an anchor. And it's, God said it's sure and steadfast. And it keeps us anchored no matter what we end up enduring in this life, because anything and everything in this life is temporary. And it's the hope that keeps us from getting knocked out. It's the hope that keeps us from not fainting, but staying put. What's coming for us is an eternal weight of glory. Remember we read that? You know, in Romans 8, it says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." No matter what we suffer, what we go through, what we have to endure, how much light affliction comes our way, it can't be compared to what God has planned for us. Wow. We look forward to the return of Jesus Christ when we're going to enjoy that eternal weight of glory. When God will show us the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. When we're going to receive our inheritance, an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and doesn't fade away. Our inheritance that God said is reserved in heaven for you and me. And of course, there's a lot of other great verses we could read, but let's close in 1 Corinthians 15, that final verse. What a hope we have. A silly analogy is like, maybe you have the greatest vacation that you could have ever dreamed of, and it's coming in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and wherever it is you're going to go or whatever it is you're going to do, you're just, it's like the greatest, I can't wait for this, and it's just so spectacular, and today you get a flat tire. Who cares? I know where I'm going in 2 weeks. Okay, I'll take care of this little flat tire. Who cares? You know, oh, the window got broke. That's fine. I know where I'm going in a couple of weeks. The great hope that we have just keeps us rejoicing, confident in God, and able to handle all the light affliction. And that's why verse 58, last verse of 1 Corinthians 15, is so wonderful. Therefore, after everything he's covered about God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and he's coming back and we're going to be gathered together in the twinkling of an eye, We get victory over death itself. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So, Father, thank you for the great hope that we have, that it's a lively hope, it's a real hope, a hope that you, who cannot lie, promised. Father, we're so grateful for all that your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, accomplished for us, that we could have eternal life, we could have forgiveness of sins, all the rights, privileges, and abilities that we have as born-again ones with the Spirit of God in us, all that we have available to us in this life while we wait. And Father, what's coming is so huge. You said in your word that eye can't see, ear can't hear, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that you have prepared for them that love you. Father, we so look forward to the hope of Jesus Christ, and if it's not today, we're going to just stay steadfast and keep moving forward the best we know how with what we know from your wonderful word. Thank you for loving us. I pray, Father, for everyone here today, for those on the phone hookup, those that might hear this recording later. Thank you for loving us, blessing us, and for being our loving, tender Father. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.